Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker, dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader education. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Ken. Welcome to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Well, I hope everyone is having a nice spring holiday season, whether you celebrate Passover, Easter, or whatever it may be. Again, I hope things are going well for you, and it's a time for a little reflection and hopefully some time with family and all of that. Today's show, we're going to be probably seeming to be all over the place, as the Australians would say, like a dog's breakfast. But it actually is going to all tie together. And we're going to spend some time also talking about the markets. We really didn't talk about the markets last week. We spent a lot of time talking about numbers and what they really meant in terms of why things weren't getting better. And if you didn't hear last week's show, there was really a lot of important information in there that I have not seen anywhere else, because I sat with my little pencil and paper and kind of put some numbers together. And it's all government numbers. It's all stuff that's freely available. But it's just, I haven't seen anybody else sit down and actually do the maths, as it were. And so it's pretty important stuff. So if you want to check the show out or any show that you may have missed, you can always go to nextweekinstocks.com, nextweekinstocks, all one word, .com, and you can check it out there. Also, if you have a question for us or there's a topic you'd like us to look into, you can always send us an email at phoenix at tradingacademy. Again, that's all one word, phoenix at tradingacademy.com. So let's actually, I'll give you a little thought on the market, and we'll do more with this later in the show. But it is very apparent that Ms. Yellen is not going to be raising interest rates anytime soon. And as we've talked about on the show for many years, they're really in a box. They can't let interest rates go up or the country goes bankrupt. I mean, we've talked about these numbers. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but we have $17 trillion in debt. We're basically paying 1.5% interest a year on that money. So we spend about $250 billion a year on interest. Also, it is very important to note that whenever we borrow money, we never pay back the principal. So you always have to continually find borrowers to roll over the debt. Now, normally, the people that already are holding the note just roll it over. But there are times where that doesn't happen, and you've got to find some buyers. So they can't let, you know, over the last 50 years, the average interest rate that the United States has paid on a 30-year bond has been about 5.7%. If we go back to a world of 5 or 6% interest rates, all of a sudden your interest costs will go up to close to $1 trillion or maybe more per year, especially as we continue to add debt on. We have no capacity to pay $1 trillion a year in debt service. We only bring in about $2.8 trillion in revenue a year. If we've got to be sending off, well, call it 25, 30% of that money to just payments on the debt, it doesn't leave much for everybody else. And as we mentioned also, I think we talked about this last week, when you look at our budget, about 70% of the budget goes to defense, Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. There isn't a whole lot, and actually Medicaid is just the government, the federal portion of it. There's not really a whole lot left. You're not going to cut foreign aid and save enough money to make any of this stuff work. So what does that mean for us as investors? Well, it means that if interest rates are kept very, very low, companies can remain profitable in two important ways. One, they can borrow money cheaply so that they can buy back their stock and artificially inflate their earnings per share. This is one of the things that has kept stock prices artificially high because the economy isn't really growing, as we discussed last week. It's growing slower than the debt we're taking on to make it grow. And then 90% of the growth is going to the government, either the federal, state, or local anyway. Now, the ability to borrow cheaply also allows corporations to spend money if they wanted to invest in capital equipment and to grow their business, but that's not how they're spending their money. I actually saw some interesting statistics on IBM. Last year, IBM spent about $18 billion buying back its own stock. Now, there is no economic value that is created when they buy back their own stock. All it does is reduces the numbers of shares outstanding so that the earnings per share look better, and that keeps their stock price inflated. In fact, they've been having declining revenues, and the stock price still goes up because they just are buying back more and more of their shares. They spent less than $4 billion on capital expenditures. That is new equipment, new facilities, that kind of thing. So they're spending four times as much on a financial transaction, actually more than four times as much, on financial transactions trying to manage their stock than they are in actually trying to grow the company. That tells you an awful lot about the state of the U.S. economy and, again, why things aren't really getting better. Now, Janet Yellen came out last week and said, you know, we still, unemployment isn't where it needs to be. It's getting better, but we're probably going to keep these interest rates low for a while. Now, what she doesn't deal with is the fact that what they're doing isn't doing anything about unemployment. And I'm going to get into this more in the next segment. But before I run out of time in this segment, I want to let you know we've added a couple of orientations for the three-day class. And for those of you who weren't listening last week, the three-day class is a very, very cool class. And we're actually giving away tickets to the entire 3 days. To come to the three-day class, you have to come to an orientation so you understand the basic approach, the terminology, what have you. That is obviously free as well if you win the tickets to the three-day class. But it's really designed for people who either are relatively new, say you've been trading for less than 5 years, and to really give you a solid overview of what the markets are, how they work, and quite frankly, why most people aren't successful in the markets. If you're more experienced and you want to improve your results, it's great for that as well. So if you would like to win tickets, be one of the next 20 callers at 8448 Trader. That's T-R-A-D-E-R. Tickets, free tickets to the three-day class for the next 20 callers at 8448 Trader. That's 844-887-2337. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Well, before the break, we started talking a little bit about Janet Yellen, who is the chairman of the Federal Reserve. I guess I should have specified that. At any rate, she gave her first major policy speech last week and came out and essentially said, we're going to probably keep these interest rates pretty low for a long time. And as I mentioned in the first segment, they have to do that for a bunch of reasons, but one of which is if they let interest rates go up, the federal government has no way of coming up with enough money to make the interest payments. The only reason we are not totally flat bankrupt, and we are bankrupt, but the only reason we could even sell any bonds at all, even to Belgium for some strange reason, is the fact that we're only paying 1.5% interest as a weighted average on the money we owe. If we had to pay kind of the 50-year average of 5.7%, we would end up spending 25 or 30% of our budget or of our revenues just on servicing the debt. And there was no way we can make it work. You can't raise taxes $800 billion a year. You're not going to cut spending $800 billion a year. So all you're going to do is get into this debt death spiral. So that's why they're going to try to keep them down. But and the point I guess I want to make and how this all kind of comes together is what I'm about to tell you, they all know is true because it's their own research in many cases. And I will give you some supporting facts as well. And what is true is what the Federal Reserve is doing is not helping the job situation. And it can't help the job situation. And they know it. And yet they keep coming out and pretending like it's making a difference. Or they have to keep doing what they're doing because even though it hasn't worked so far, somehow magically it's going to work at some point in the future. But part of this is just more, I guess, lies our government tells us, where it's just not giving us the straight story. And if you don't pay a lot of attention to this, you actually can get sucked into believing that these people aren't just making it all up because, well, they're highly paid, smart people. But let us walk through Miss Janet Yellen's comments. This is just from the Financial Times of London. And this is just the headline from April 16th is Yellen warns inflation may lag recovery. And it starts off with the following sentence. Even a recovering U.S. economy may not pull inflation back up toward the Federal Reserve's 2% target. Now, think about this for a minute. It used to be that the job of the Federal Reserve was price stability, not 2% inflation. In fact, 2% inflation meant that the Fed needed to raise interest rates, get things under control, because nobody wants 2% inflation. We now live in a world where the goal is 2% inflation. Why is that? Because inflation helps people who owe money, because you pay it back in cheaper dollars than you borrowed it in. So that's good for people who owe a lot of money. Well, that would be the federal government. But there's a cost to it, which means that lenders, savers, they get punished. It's why so many people now, they talk about, well, you know, this low interest rate's really stimulating the economy. No, it's not. You're just taking money from one group and giving it to another group because all the people who rely on bonds and CDs are getting killed. So while you're lowering the cost to the government and to people who borrow so they have more money to spend, you're taking it from the bond, the people that sold the bonds, that loaned the money. Those people have less money to spend. So net-net, it doesn't help you. The second thing is, if you have 2% inflation for 20 years, you essentially raise the price of goods by 50% over that 20-year period. That's a big number. Okay, something that costs a dollar today costs about $1.48. $1.49, somewhere in there, 20 years from now. That's a 2% inflation. And these guys, they never get it right. They always overshoot. The number gets too big. And two, they're never honest about what the number is. Understand the way that inflation is calculated in this country is totally bogus. They have made major, major changes over the last 30-some years. And it's kind of like this whole deal with the census and how many people have health care. When you keep changing how you do the numbers are no longer comparable. There are people who argue that inflation in this country is actually more like 8% right now because we've just changed the way we calculate it. So, for example, they do this substitution. So if they're tracking the market basket of, say, food, and yeah, they pull food and energy out, but when they calculate it in there, because they also do it with it, if the price of steak goes up, they assume you won't eat steak anymore and you'll start eating more hamburger. And so they substitute one good for another, which makes it impossible to actually compare actual prices. So all of this is a big shell game. And this gets to, again, kind of one of the overarching theories here is, why are people losing faith in government? I was looking at a Rasmussen poll that came out last week. 19% of people in the United States believe that the government has the consent of the governed. That is a staggering number, because I don't know who those 19% are. Okay. But 66% of the people in this country do not believe that the government has the consent of the governed. That is a very bad number for a lot of reasons. What you saw in Nevada at the Bundy Ranch is probably the first of these types of things we're going to see. It will be fascinating to see at what point does the government crack down. In a world of cell phones and social media, will they always back down? Or will there be another effective Ruby Ridge or Waco where they say, we have to send a message that we're just not going to tolerate this anymore and shut down the protest? I don't know. That's not necessarily the topic of today, but I think that when people have lost so much trust in government, and by the way, deservedly so. I mean, I actually thought that Romney, when he was running, that a much more effective slogan for him wouldn't have been just to hope that the economy stayed bad, which was kind of the strategy, but to go at it with something like restoring trust in government by creating a government worthy of your trust. I mean, there is no reason for people to trust this government on either side of the aisle right now. And unfortunately, I don't see that changing. And that kind of cynicism, and maybe it's just me, or maybe it's me and 66%. Of the American population, or the 61% of the population who thinks the country's on the wrong track, and only 31% think it's on the right track, I think that these types of tensions become unsustainable. And ultimately, you know, you say, Ken, this is supposed to be a show about investing. Why are we talking about this stuff? It's because all of these things have a lot of impact on the overall market. And the key for this piece of it, what Yellen is doing is saying we're going to keep interest rates low, which means that, again, I would not be out shorting stocks right now. The market is still going to want to continue to go higher. As I have also said, I think it's going to become more clear that the Republicans are probably going to have a fairly large landslide victory come this fall. They could screw it up, no question of that. And I actually don't think it's going to make any real difference because they're still not going to have the White House. And even if they did, they're just as big a government people right now as anybody. Again, not to get too off topic, but I think that the market will take heart in that. They will say, hey, maybe we're going to get rid of some of these ridiculous regulations. Maybe we're going to stop punishing people who achieve in this country, and therefore stock prices continue to go higher. So again, I wouldn't bet against this market, but when I look at a volatility index, which is how expensive options are and how much fear is in the market, and we're at levels we were at in 2007 before the financial crisis, and we've got the Russians in the Ukraine and China slowing down, and for a day and a half this week, Japan couldn't get a single bid on its government bonds, which does not bode well for the folks over in Japan, and all the things that are happening around the world, and there's no skepticism and there's no fear, and there's record levels of margin debt. People have borrowed over $400 billion against their stocks, and the institutions are selling, the dumb money is all in. That has to end badly. The thing that we can't know is what the trigger will be and when it will happen. So from my perspective, the most important thing to do is you got to be in the market so you don't miss the opportunity, but you better know how to protect yourself. And options are a key part of that. And it's why we spend a lot of time on options at the 3-day class. And by the way, for those of you who are just joining us, we've added a couple more orientations so we can put some more people into the 3-day classes we have coming up. And we actually have a couple of really just great instructors, Brandon Wendell and Michelle Vollmering. Those of you familiar with Online Trading Academy probably know those names. They are some of the best instructors we have in the system. And so they're coming out, they're teaching a class on really how the markets work. Most people, if you look at over, say, a 20-year period, when the market was up 8% a year, the average retail trader was up 2% a year. People don't know how the markets really work. And this is really about how they work, how the different asset classes work, how to use options to protect wealth, how to use them to create income. What's the role of currencies? What's the role of futures? The reality is almost none of our students end up trading stock because stock is one of the worst things that you can trade because you don't get any decent leverage. I mean, they're better than mutual funds, but so be that. So if you are one of the next 20 callers, you can win tickets to the 3-day class. You must attend an orientation. In the orientation, we'll explain to you kind of what's going to happen in the class. That is obviously free as well, but be one of the next 20 callers for free tickets at 8448 Trader. Now, we don't have 20 people on the phone, so if you get voicemail, you could still be a winner. Leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will call you back. Call 844-887-2337. Win your free tickets. We'll see you in a minute. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Well, we've been talking about the Federal Reserve and Janet Yellen and the speech she gave last week that essentially said that, you know, look for interest rates to stay low, essentially as long as the rivers run and the wind blows and whatnot, but at least until probably pretty late 2015. Again, it is my belief they will keep them as low as they can for as long as they can, and they will do everything they can to make that happen. And one day, actually, we'll spend some time talking about there's some things that they can do that won't be very pleasant. And actually, I'll raise the issue here. There are six countries that I'm aware of where they've essentially seized people's retirement accounts and they put them into their government bonds to try to keep things going. There have been a variety of variations on that. They did some things in Poland and what have you. I don't think we'll do it that way here. I think instead what will happen is you'll have a big stock market hit at some point and some demagogue is going to come on TV and tell you, Wall Street's a rigged game, which it is. I mean, that's one of the first things that we teach people is it's a rigged game. So get on the side of the people rigging it. You and I can't rig it. We're not big enough, but you can learn to watch what they're doing and get on their side of the table because anything else is going to cost you money. I mean, this is not a complicated thing to really do. The tricky part is trying to figure out what they're doing. But again, that is our role to try to show you what to look for. At any rate, they are then going to say to you that, you know what's a safe investment? U.S. Treasuries. And from now on, your 401ks and your IRAs, the only thing you can invest in is U.S. Treasuries because those are tax advantaged. They can decide what you can invest in right now. Or they may say, well, you know, you can invest in anything you want, but if you put your money in Treasuries, when you take it out, it's all tax-free. Now, it depends on the number you see, but there's about $8.3 trillion sitting in people's 401ks and IRAs. If the government gets access to that money, they can actually keep interest rates low and they can keep this game going for probably 10 years. Now, I don't think you can keep it going much longer than that, but they will have no alternative to do this. And there will be many commentators on TV and members of the public who say, boy, I'm glad the government's here to help me, not realizing that those treasuries aren't going to be worth anything. And the interest rates that you're getting paid are non-existent. And when they're not telling the truth about inflation, all of that adds up to a really bad time for people in retirement. And this whole idea of 2% inflation being a goal, and again, in 20 years, that means that your money, you're going to need about 50% more of it to buy the same things you can buy 20 years earlier. That isn't good for people trying to live on a fixed income. So what does all of this mean? It means that interest rates are going to stay low for the foreseeable future, which means that money will continue to go into the stock market. Stock prices will probably continue to go higher. However, there's a boatload of risk out there. So you can't go short assuming it's going to fall, because it's going to fall at some point, but it could be next week, it could be next year. I mean, it's impossible to know that. But you've got to really be nimble, because again, if you've been out of the market for the last 4 years, you've missed one of the greatest bull markets in history. The market's up 180% since the bottom in 2009, and most people have missed a huge chunk of it. But when it goes down, again, this market could fall 40, 50, 60% in a relatively short period of time because there's no there. There's no institutional support. the people that are in the market have borrowed huge amounts of money to buy their stocks. So when they get what's called a margin call, they'll have to sell things. That'll take the market down faster. And when that happens, that's when the skill of shorting is going to be very important, or knowing how to use put options. And in fact, I just realized, I've been sitting here talking about shorting, I haven't explained what it is. But conceptually, here's what you do. What people are used to is, you go out, let's say you're buying IBM stock, and it's trading at a couple $100, whatever it may be. You go buy the shares at 200, you hope that they go up, and you'll sell them for 220 or whatever the number might be. When you go short, what you do instead is you go to your broker and say, I'd like to borrow 100 shares of IBM. By the way, I'm not recommending you do this with IBM, but I'm just saying if you were going to go short, you borrow the shares from the broker, and the broker actually takes them from one of their other customers. They sell them and they put the money in your account, which is pretty cool, except it's not really your money because you owe the shares. So you can't just take the money and go to Mexico. But the idea is if you sell the shares at 200 and you buy them back at 180, you get to keep the difference. And the beauty of it is that fear is a more important driver of human behavior than is greed. So stocks fall faster than they rise. So you can actually make more money faster on the downside than you can to the upside. But something like 90% of retail traders never go short because they don't understand it. They've been told it's immoral or un-American or risky or whatever. Look, all this stuff's risky if you don't know what you're doing. And that's why, from our perspective, this is all about education. And it's why what we are is we're a school. We're not a broker. We don't manage money for people. We don't trade against our clients. We are trying to teach people a skill that they can use for a lifetime. And from my perspective, is the single most important skill anybody can have. If you can teach this to your kids, to your grandkids, it is critical because the economic shell game that's being played, not just in this country, but throughout the world, one day must end. And I can't tell you when that day is. But if you don't understand how to trade currencies, and if you don't understand how to trade commodities, and if you don't understand how to make money on the downside, you are at tremendous risk. And so is everybody else in this country, and again, really around the world. If the dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, and one day that will probably happen. And again, I don't see that happening in the next 5 weeks or 5 months, but in the next 5 years, it's a risk. And you say, I got plenty of time. Folks, you know, we see this so often where people wait until there's a crisis and then they want to learn stuff. I mean, our classes are pretty full right now, but when the market's going down, there's times where you can wait for a class for 3 or 4 months because that's what everybody decides. After they lose a bunch of money, well, then that's when people are going to figure this out. So at any rate, I digress. But actually, because I haven't talked about it yet here for a little bit, for those of you who are interested in really understanding what it takes to succeed, whether you're a shorter-term trader or a longer-term investor, if you want to understand what options are and futures and how do you trade foreign currencies, if you want to understand why someone would want to trade as a day trader or why they would maybe only do a couple of trades a month and they're trying to do wealth management, if you really want to understand whether or not the market's for you, we have a special class, and it's really for two kinds of people. The people who have probably been trading less than 5 years that are relatively new, and the people that have been doing this for a while, and what they're doing just isn't getting them results that they want. So if you want to come out to the class, we are giving away free tickets on the show today. Now, you must attend an orientation so that you understand what's happening in the class and kind of what we're going to cover in the class to make sure it's appropriate for you and everybody else has been through it, just to make sure you have kind of a baseline level of knowledge. And obviously, the orientation, if you win the tickets, is free as well. So if you're one of the next 20 callers, you can win free tickets to the 3-day class, which is a pretty cool deal. It's 8448. Trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, is the number to call for free tickets. Again, free tickets to the 3-day class at 8448 Trader. Now, we don't have 20 people answering the phones, so you may get voicemail and still be a winner. If you get voicemail, just leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will get back to you. So that's 8448 Trader, or 844-887-2337. Now, coming back to Ms. Yellen here, she makes the point of the larger the shortfall of unemployment or inflation from their respective objectives. Now, she's trying to get unemployment, actually says in here, down to 5.7 to 5.5% and inflation up to 2%. She says the larger the shortfall of employment or inflation from their respective objectives and the slower the projected progress toward those objectives, the longer the current target range for the federal funds is likely to be maintained. So what does that mean? It means they're going to keep interest rates low until things get better. But what they're doing won't make things better. I'll explain why after the break. See you in a minute. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. So what we've been talking about on the show is the fact that the Federal Reserve is going to try to keep interest rates low for about as long as they can because they really want to get inflation up and they really want to get unemployment down. Now, this will have no impact on unemployment, and with the way the money's being spent, or not spent, in fact, it'll have no impact on inflation, and I will show this to you now. Now, again, understand the Federal Reserve has been making the case really since 2008 that they've got to keep these interest rates low because it's really going to help the economy, it's going to get the jobless rate down, the rest of it. There is a paper called Has QE Been Effective? It came out actually this year, earlier in the year, in February, February 10th, in fact. And this is the conclusion. The analysis presented here suggests that QE had little or no effect in reducing long-term yields relative to what they would have been otherwise. If QE did not significantly reduce long-term yields relative to what they would have otherwise been, it cannot have increased output or employment either. So here is someone definitively saying this, the quantitative easing, now the zero interest rate policy is a different animal, but the quantitative easing, all this money they have created out of absolute nothingness, it hasn't made a difference. And you say, well, Ken, but this is probably some just biased, you know, crazy person that's out there writing this. This was written by a man named Daniel Thornton, who works for the Federal Reserve. He, in fact, is a vice president and economic advisor at the St. Louis Fed. This is the Federal Reserve's own research. In fact, they have done multiple papers on this topic that have all come to the same conclusion. So they come on TV and say, well, we got to do all this stuff to really help with unemployment. And then their own research says, well, but you know what? It doesn't really make any difference to employment. So they're doing it so that they can continue to support the radical out-of-control spending of this government without this whole thing collapsing in a house of cards. That's really what's going on. So how else do we know this? Well, let's look at some numbers. And these are other numbers that I have not seen anywhere else. So you're getting another week of new numbers here. If you look at how much money the Federal Reserve creates every year, and then how much of it never leaves the Federal Reserve. And I'll try to do this succinctly, but it won't be easy. Here's what happens. In the quantitative easing, the Federal Reserve right now creates $55 billion a month. They don't print it. It's just a journal entry. They then buy $55 billion in treasuries and mortgages from big banks. The banks then have $55 billion to lend out, but there's no one to lend it to. So effectively, they just give it back to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve pays them a 0.25% interest on the $55 billion, and the banks don't have to do anything. And you and I are doing that because we're still bailing out the banks. So here's an interesting little exercise. If you go to the Federal Reserve database, they have the data going back to 1985. If you look at how much money has been created a year and by the Federal Reserve, and then how much of it has basically stayed at the Federal Reserve, from 1985 to 2008, there was never a year where more than 5% of the money stayed at the Federal Reserve. So at least 95% always went out into the real marketplace. 1 year, it was 5%. 1 year it was 4%. There was never another year where it was above 2%. There were 15 years where none of it stayed at the Federal Reserve, which means that the Fed was making money, and it was creating money, and it was being lent out, and that's what's supposed to be happening. Since 2008, here are the numbers. Again, never has been more than 5% until now. In 2008, it was 85%. In 2009, it was 89%. 83%, 82%, 17% in 2012. I don't really know what happened there. And then 83% in 2013. Of all the money that has been created since 2008 by the Federal Reserve, 82% of it is still sitting at the Federal Reserve. Only about $400 to $500 billion of the $4.3 trillion they've got created actually has made it out into the real marketplace. And the new money is actually about $3.6 trillion. But here's the point. The reason this doesn't work is because none of the money is entering the real economy. All it's doing is propping up stock prices, which is, again, why you don't want to fight the Fed. You don't want to be sitting out of this market because there is money to be made. But you have got to be nimble, you've got to have a plan, and you've got to know how to protect yourself from the inevitable downturn that's coming. And again, if you were just joining us, we're doing one more week where we're going to give away the 3-day class that really explains all of this stuff. If you're one of the next 20 callers, you can win free tickets. We don't have 20 people on the phone, so if you get voicemail, you could still be a winner. Just leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you win, someone will call you back. You will need to attend an orientation before the 3-day class. That, if you win tickets, will be free as well. The number to call for free tickets, and this will be your last chance, is 8448-TRADER, that's T-R-A-D-E-R, which is 844-887-2337. Again, free tickets to the 3-day class for the next 20 callers at 8448-TRADER. Very briefly on levels. The S&P, again, appears to want to be moving higher, but there's also a lot of selling out there. I would be very, very cautious with the market overall. But again, it's likely to continue with some pullbacks to the upside. So make sure you're protecting yourself. We don't talk a lot about crude oil here, but I would be paying very close attention to oil because, again, if Russia gets any pushback from us, and even if they don't, their economy is dependent on keeping oil prices high. Oil prices have been going up, but they seem to be hung up right around where they are now. When I was recording this, oil was at $103.37 a barrel. There is some selling, it looks like, between $104.14 and $104.34. If you see it break above, say, $104.50, I would think that oil is probably going to continue higher, so I would be paying attention to that. Gold has come back down to $1,294. It's pretty much in a no man's land between buying and selling. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what's happening with world events. I don't know that gold is your best trade right now. Again, if you want to really learn how the markets work, call us, get free tickets. If you're one of the next 20 callers to the 3-day class, the number to call is 8448-TRADER. That's 844-887-2337. We'll see you next week.